Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Boys in Blue Recap, Season 2, Episode 12. Will Smith gets the snub. The Dodgers win 11 of their last 12. And can the Dodgers break away this week? All that and more on this episode of the Boys in Blue Recap. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Boys in Blue Recap, Season 2, Episode 12. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am Kevin. That is Brent. Brent, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We're coming off a double sweep. Like I said in the intro, the Dodgers are 11 of their last 12. They have dubs, and the Dodgers sit top of the NL West. It's not much more can be better in Dodger world.
Honestly, feeling pretty good right now.
And I hope that keeps going. And a little bit of a program note before we get started. We're going to try a little bit of a different format today. We're going to focus a little more on kind of the news, kind of some hot takes, things that are going on in the Dodger world. We're not going to really go as in-depth game to game anymore. So please let us know if you like this format. I think it's going to be a little more exciting for folks who maybe don't know as much about baseball. I think it can get a little boring going into each and every single game. So please stick with us and let us know if you like it. Another little note, I know that this has not been coming out weekly. We try our best to get this out weekly, but Brent and I both do have jobs and other things outside of this that do get in the way sometimes. So as we continue to try to give you weekly episodes, expect them for sure once every 2 weeks, but we will try to give you weekly episodes as they come out. And as always, thank you guys so much for listening in. Let's get into it. Tony Gonsolin, Clayton Kershaw, Trey Turner, and Mookie Betts all voted into the All-Star game. All deserved. Was Will Smith and Freddie Freeman snubbed? Brent, what do you think?
So first for the first four, I think they're all very deserving of their spots voting into the All-Star game. I hope everyone did vote out there, no matter who you did vote for. I hope it was for our Dodgers. But regardless, I think it's really important to make sure that everyone gets a chance to vote for their All-Stars and their picks. All four of them deserve it. I do think that Will Smith also deserves it. I really do. I know that Darnold is kind of the pick for the catcher, for the NL catcher. But I do think there's a strong case for Will Smith being in that position as well. We've seen what Will Smith has been doing, and I think especially more in kind of the second half of the first half, so I guess the second quarter of the season, to make it a little bit less confusing, we've seen kind of Will Smith doing the things that we're used to seeing. I know he was a little bit, in the beginning, it was a little bit kind of getting warmed up with the season. Also for Freddie, you know, in terms of getting snubbed, I don't think he is going to get the spot over someone like Goldschmidt, who was having an absolutely incredible, ridiculous offensive year. But I think that there is a spot for him as a reserve for the All-Star team, definitely, Kevin.
Yeah, I think the Will Smith thing is very important to talk about, because he didn't start off super hot, but he became hot. He leads Travis Darnold, who is going to be the first choice in. Smith leads in home runs, RBIs, hits, BWAR, OBP, OPS, OPS plus total bases, walk percentage, strikeout percentage being low, and many more. Like, I don't understand how he was not voted in. I just don't understand. And I mean, we can also talk about, I don't understand how Jock Peterson was voted in. Like, I love Jock Peterson, former Dodger. He's a starter in the All-Star game. Like, he's not starter material. I mean, again, I know it's all fan voted, and I appreciate that, and I respect that they're letting the fans do this. But Will Smith should have been in. I think I agree with you. Freddie, definitely a good backup. I mean, his stats this year are still pretty, I mean, insane. 296 batting average, 853 OPS, 136 OPS plus. You know, that could be, I guess, he could have a one dot or OPS. I'm sure Goldschmidt probably has a one dot OPS. You know, I think he's batting like 320 or something, right? Something like,
it's crazy. It's honestly, he's having a ridiculous year. So, you know, hats off to him. He deserves a spot.
Yeah, I agree. I hope, I just hope to see. I know we're not going to get to, but I hope Will Smith gets an opportunity one of these years. Who's going to start the All-Star game, Brent? Because here's what I think. So we have Tony Gonsolin and Clayton Kershaw going to the All-Star game. Tony Gonsolin is the best NL pitcher with the lowest ERA currently. And I know ERA is not everything, but he also has 11 wins. He has the highest wins, lowest ERA. I think he should start over Clayton Kershaw, honestly. And that might be controversial. I think he should start over anyone. And I know Clayton Kershaw has never gotten the start, but Brent, Tony Gonsolin deserves it this year.
Yeah, you know, Kevin, I think based on what we've been seeing this season, Gonsolin has proven himself to be in that top contending spot for the best pitcher in the National League. I mean, still up to this point, he's a candidate for Cy Young if he can keep this kind of thing up. And I know that the common critique for him and his season is the lower strikeout rate, right? He doesn't get quite as many strikeouts as some of these other top pitchers, but you cannot, that cannot take away from just what he's been able to do and how consistent he's been. That being said, Kevin, I do kind of disagree with you, and I think I'm going to have to say that Kershaw needs to start. He needs to take the mound to start this All-Star Game 2022 in Los Angeles. I'll have to run something by you really quick, Kevin. Kershaw, this is his ninth All-Star appearance. He has yet to have started a single All-Star game. Clayton Kershaw has not started an All-Star game.
I know.
And let's think about some of the seasons that he has had, and that includes, by the way, Kevin, his MVP season. He still did not start that year. Right. And so I think he deserves, before he ends up retiring, whenever that may be, he deserves an opportunity to start and be in that position. Because again, this is an exhibition game. This doesn't mean anything, yeah, right? Like, this is all for fun. This is all for show, right? It's fan voting. Like, at the end of the day, it's not going to mean anything, right? Give the guy the opportunity to start. He deserves it. Hey, he's like 6-2 this year with like a 2.4 ERA. That's really good. That's nothing to walk, you know, to say it's not where we're just kind of voting him in, oh, just because it's LA. You know, that's not the only reason. Like, he actually deserves it, and I think he legitimately does deserve this position. And the fact that it is in Los Angeles. He's been in LA with the LA team his entire career. And I think it's just kind of the perfect story, and it would be the perfect situation. And I think it would make a lot of people happy to see that. And I'm sure some people would probably argue the opposite. And, you know, if it's Gonsolin or if it's, you know, another pitcher, right? Like, you know, I think Kershaw should start the game.
Clayton Kershaw has definitely deserved it in the past, and I could see why people want him to start the game. I understand that. I believe when the All-Star game was in Washington, Max Scherzer started over someone else was just crushing it that year. And I don't remember what year this was, but Max Scherzer started because it was in Washington, okay? And I understand that. But Clayton Kershaw has every record in the book, right? He's 3-time Cy Young, 8-time, 9-time All-Star, triple count, MVP, 2020, you know, World Series winner, 5-time ERA title winner, Gold Glove, Player of the Year. He's won it all, and I think Tony Gonsolin deserves the start. He has a .801 whip in 88 innings pitched, 80 strikeouts over 16 games. That's averaging 5 a game. That's not that bad, Brent.
not too bad, I don't think.
And I know you're mentioning his strikeouts are low, but he's amazing. Tony Gonsolin should get the start. Bring in Kershaw after. I'm sorry, and it sucks that Clayton Kershaw's never started, and I get that, but Gonsolin, for what he's done this season, and that's what it should be every year, it should be the current season, he gets to deserve start. I don't care where it really is, I'll be totally honest with you. As long as Clayton gets in the game, I'll be happy.
Okay, so what about, Kevin, I'll have to ask you this. What about Sandy Alcantara? Where do you think he fits in the equation? Because there are people that are arguing that
he doesn't have enough games.
Starts above both Gonsolin and Kershaw.
Or excuse me. I don't know. Well, I think that was going to be probably someone who had an issue. So he has a higher whip than Gonsolin. He has more innings pitched, but he has a higher ERA. He has 3 losses. Gonsolin has 11 wins, no losses. I don't care that, you know, Alcantara's on the Marlins. It's no, we're not talking about those losers. We're talking Tony Gonsolin. At the end of the day, I'll be happy if either one of them start, but I think Tony Gonsolin should get it. I will say one thing. Tony Gonsolin has the lowest ERA through 16 starts in Dodger history with Don Drysdale, Sandy Koufax, and Zach Greinke. And Tony Gonsolin's on the list. You don't see Kershaw on the list. You don't see other people. He's on the list. Flipping it over, though, another amazing stat for Clayton Kershaw. He has the 4th most 10-plus strikeout games with no walks at 26 games behind Randy Johnson, Max Scherzer, and Curt Schilling.
That's a pretty good list to be up with. Let me tell you, those are some legendary pitchers right there.
Yeah, so, I mean, Yeah, it's silly that we're discussed like going back and forth. But the one thing I also wanted to bring up is with this new, so for everyone who doesn't know, the commissioner is allowed to choose people to be on the All-Star team. So this year it's going to be Miguel Cabrera and Albert Pujols. Mm-hmm. Greats of the game, they deserve it, I think. Yep. Maybe Clayton Kershaw just gets that pick the year he retires and he gets to start then. Right?
I think if he doesn't get it this time around, I think that would be something that's fair. But I also think that Kershaw, and you know, we don't want to discredit Kershaw by any means, is in the sense that I think his play is still deserving of an All-Star position, whether that's,
yes,
you know, regardless of if that's starting the game specifically, I think he's still at a level where he is going to be an All-Star. Whereas I think if you look at someone like Pujols, who, you know, he's kind of in the twilight of his career, and so it's more of the highlighting and enhancing the career, right? Emphasizing the career, like you were saying, Kevin. That makes a little more sense because he's not performing like Pujols was back in the early 2000s and all those MVPs and just all the home. I mean, the ridiculous hitting machine that he was, which is, you know, hence his nickname. And Miguel Cabrera is kind of same thing. I know he's having, you know, he still does fairly well, but again, like not all-star caliber play. But these guys are all-time greats. These guys are going to go down in the history books of baseball,
yeah,
as being some of the best players to ever grace the field. And so, you know, if Kershaw doesn't get his moment, I would not be opposed to them doing something like that.
Right. But you still think Kershaw should start the game?
I think he should. I think it just fits. I think the narrative makes it. It's all the stars are lining up, Kevin, for this one.
Okay.
This is like the opportunity.
I respect that. At least we're going to get to see four Dodgers in the All-Star game. And Will Smith needs to get a vote anyway. Yeah.
Can't complain about that.
Let's talk about Justin Turner, because he's getting hot at the right time, Brent. Batting 247 with a 714 OPS and a 98 OPS plus. I like seeing Justin. I love Justin. He's my favorite player. Comes from Cal State Fullerton, alumni. And we've been talking about it all season. He's getting hot when he needs to, Brent, and I'm happy for it. I think in the month of like July, he's almost batting 500. He's nuts right now. He's insane.
He's been on an absolute tear. And what I've liked to see the most out of Turner recently is he's gone back to, not that he really got away from, but he's really been focusing on not trying to do too much at the plate.
Yeah.
And going the other way, because I think that's something that a player like Justin Turner is so good at doing. Mm-hmm. I think in the game we have today, there's lots of players that they get by and they can get around with being a super heavy pull hitter, crushing the ball to that pull side, having a bunch of that power. And you know what? That works for a lot of people because that's just the way that this game is right now, and it can work.
Yeah.
Justin Turner has power not only to his pull side, but he can hit those on the right side, find those gaps all day long. I think in this last week, I don't know how many, a handful of those line drive hits to the right side in between first and second base, easy hits all day. I mean, it's great to see that. And I think also just seeing him not striking out as much too,
yeah,
because we know him to be a good disciplined hitter up there, being able to fight up there, being able to take these bad pitches out of the zone. And it's really coming together for him. I'm hoping that he can kind of continue this momentum as the Dodgers go forward into the All-Star break.
Yeah, totally agree. Happy to see him getting hot. Yeah, I think in the month of July, I know it's only been 10 days, and I think even through the middle of June, I think he only has a couple home runs. So that proves that, you know, he's not hitting, trying to swing for the fences. He's getting his feet back, and he's playing very well. Brent, we have some bench players that are really coming up big for the Dodgers. Trace Thompson and Jake Lamb deliver when they're needed through these two series, but especially in the month of July, Trace Thompson is batting .357 with a 1.25 OPS in 14 at-bats.
Incredible.
That's pretty good.
This guy comes back out of nowhere, right? Dodgers organization picks him up, and just like the Dodgers organization magic,
yeah,
he just all of a sudden, just right away, is contributing.
So good.
And it has been such a blessing, honestly, for the organization to have someone like Trace Thompson coming in and filling in this gap that they need, especially when Mookie was hurt, right? And we're having these other injuries that are coming up. We have the Chris Taylor injury. And just being able to fill those positions, and not only fill the positions, because it's one thing to just be in that lineup and just taking the spot, but to really take advantage and give that full effort and really get some production, get some things going. I mean, it's just been, I don't even know what more you can say. He's the better Thompson brother. That's all there is.
Yeah, that's very true. Happy to see them battling out there, you know, with the amount of games we play. It's important to have guys like this step up when they need to. I hate talking about this because it makes me sad, because I was starting to like Kenley Jansen, and now we have Craig Kimbrell, and he sucks. What? In the Dodgers 5-3 win over the Cubs, he allowed 2 hits, 1 earned run over, you know, I think it was 4 batters, got pulled out. Vesia comes in, gets the save. In the month of July, he's 5 games, allowed 5 hits, 4 runs, and has a 9 ERA. I know, again, I don't think ERA means everything, but that is ridiculously high for only a 5-game when a guy who comes in and pitches 1 inning. What do the Dodgers give up on him? I think the contract's a year, right? It's just the end of this year.
It's just this year.
So, yeah. I mean, I think the Dodgers give up on him and move forward with someone else. And I understand Craig Kimbrell and Kenley Jansen have the highest saves in the MLB, right? They're like 1 and 2. They're historically, they're the best relief, the best ninth inning pitchers in the game. But Kimbrell sucks.
So Kevin, what do you think would be inappropriate? So if they were to stop utilizing him, right? And yeah, that's, and we think about it this way, right off the bat, I think it's $16 million, right? I think they gave him
$16 million one year. Remember that correctly? I think this might be an option.
So, you know, you're not utilizing $16 million of your payroll.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that's being given to him. He's not going to pitch. He's the closer, and considering with the injuries that we currently have, who takes the closer role? Who do you think would be appropriate for that?
I have multiple things that I think, multiple people that I think can do the role. So when Blake Treinen comes back, we sign him for another couple years, and he becomes our closer. For the now, I honestly think there's a couple people. I think Yancy Almonte has done the closing thing a couple games this season and has done a fantastic job. You know, very young pitcher, knows how to pitch around, still throws some heat, really good pitcher. I think he's fantastic. Another one who we saw, again, in this Cubs game was Alex Vesia. I think Vesia, probably Roberts wouldn't utilize him as that because we've seen Vesia go like 2, 3, 4 innings. But in a pinch, he can do it. So I think those are my decisions. I think when Treinen comes back, we get him in that save spot. I mean, again, he got injured, so I'm kind of happy we have this Kimbrell thing right now. No, I'm not. I lied. I hate it. But if Blake Treinen wasn't injured, is that a bad shout to be our closer?
Is that a bad shout? I don't think so.
No, he's amazing.
You know who I was thinking in as another possible option, Kevin?
Who?
Gratterall.
See, I'm scared of him. I don't think he knows where the ball's going.
what about today? He had two innings in the game earlier today against the Cubs. He had the 2 innings, and he was able to lock it down. He looked actually really good out there. But I get what you're saying, in that there are some of those times where he kind of loses control, and he doesn't seem to find the zone, and that can spell a lot of trouble if you're trying to close the game out, right?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'll take anyone but Kimbrell, to be honest. But I think it's good. I think Gratterall, Treinen can do it. I think even Vesic do it. Almonte can do it. Anyone but Kimbrell should be able to do it. Little shout out to Evan Phillips. 34 games this year, 1.59 ERA, and a 0.824 WHIP. Brent, the Dodgers bullpen, honestly, as much as we give it crap, is actually really good. It's kind of a joke.
We just like to, you know, we complain and we pick at the little pieces and the little things that go wrong here and there. But overall, the Dodgers organization, this team, the organization has put together quite the team up and down. I mean, throughout, it is very solid. And yeah, I think we take that for granted sometimes, being a big market team and just thinking that we're always expecting the absolute best and almost like
we deserve it
from these players. we totally deserve it. They need to be perfect. They need to not make a single mistake at all in all of these games.
Shout out Evan Phillips. Happy that they did that. And that's kind of the new segment of our show for this new format. We're going to get into the two series that were over the last week. But again, to everyone listening who's used to it, we are not going to go in depth to each series. We're just going to do a quick overview. I'm going to take the Rockies series. Brent's going to take the Cubs series. So in we go. Dodgers played 3 at home versus the Rockies in a 3-0 sweep. Julio Urias and Mitch White have great outings. And what I really wanted to kind of target was Ryan Pepiot's outing. Gets another chance. Puts in a fantastic performance. 5 innings pitched. 4 hits. 1 run. 1 walk. 6 strikeouts. In a 5-2 Dodger win. Helps the Dodger bullpen. Make sure that they don't go too many innings. Helps the Dodgers organization because it shows that this young guy is able to get called up and deliver an amazing performance. And I think he should continue to get these opportunities, especially with, again, Dustin May out all the other injuries that we have going on. Walker Buehler. And I'm happy to see him doing that. Mookie comes back in this series and plays second base, Brent. What can this guy not do? He's amazing, and he turned a couple double plays, and he looked natural out there, and he's just an amazing athlete. Dodgers came back in every single one of these games to win, Brent, and I think that shows resilience. This is huge for the Dodger organization. Again, they were, I think, comeback is a tight word. I think they were down like 1 or 2 in each one of the games and then came back, but that's still backs to the wall. And they were able to come back and win every single one of these games. Maranta is awful. I don't want to see him pitch for the Dodgers ever again. He's just atrocious. We saw him in the series. Gave up, I think, like 3 hits in 1 inning. Terrible. And the Dodgers outscored the Rockies 12-6 over the 3 games. It was a great series for the Dodgers. Happy to see them get the sweep. Dodgers win. Take it 3-0. Next series, Brent, talk to us about the that Cubs series at home.
Yeah, so they had 4 at home against the Cubs. Again, as we know, as of earlier today, on Sunday, July 10th, that they won and completed the sweep against the Cubs with, honestly, some really good performances, too. And these weren't just, like, blowout games. And I think the theme of, you mentioned, Kevin, coming back has kind of bled over into this next series as well. Not to jump around too much, but in games 2 and 3, the Dodgers actually scored 8 total runs in the 6th inning and later. So 6th inning throughout the rest of the, you know, the remainder of the innings, one of them was went into the 10th inning as well. And I think that just kind of shows this switch from, in the beginning of the year, we saw the Dodgers struggling a lot in coming back and completing these comeback games and getting the late offense going and kind of clutching up towards the more intense parts of the game, but now we're seeing that they're able to get it done and they're actually executing in these opportunities and these more tighter windows. And so really good to see that. I think that's a really good sign for a team that's able to do that. They're, you know, they kind of are never really out of the game, right? And so yeah, really good to see. And for the first game, you and I were actually at that game.
We were there, Filipino Heritage Night.
Yeah. So we went to the game, Kevin and I did, with some friends, and it was nice. We got to see Gonsolin pitch. The only mistake he made was a 2-run home run. Besides that, he was looking just like how we know Gonsolin to be looking like. It was really nice to see him. Mookie had a couple of home runs. Now, however, one of the downsides of the game was, again, we talk about Kimbrel, and Kimbrel comes in up 5-2, I believe, going into the 9th inning. He gets 2 quick outs, then proceeds to give up, I think, 3 or 4 straight runners. Base runners, either by hits or walks, actually gets pulled. And like you were mentioning earlier, Vesia comes in, gets the save, is able to lock it up. But again, what I had noticed in that was Kimbrel not having control of his off-speed pitches. He was pretty much forced to go with his fastball because I think he spiked like 2 of his curveballs like 2 feet in front of the plate.
You really don't know where it's going either.
It's not good. Yeah, not good looking at that. That's someone who doesn't have a good feel for the ball, someone who's not feeling very confident in themselves. And, you know, it's really, you know, from a hitter's perspective, if you see this pitcher that's struggling to throw their curveball, even make it to the plate, then you're like, okay, I'm sitting fastball, because that's the only thing this guy probably feels comfortable throwing. And that's kind of why he had such a bad outing and you know, almost blew the save.
Yeah.
See, he was able to come back in, thankfully. But yeah, so, you know, it's, you know, he was able to get a save in game 3 of the series. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's a little bit better. It was a smooth 1-2-3. I think it was something like
stressful seeing him come in, by the way.
It's stressful. It's a stressful experience, right? Like, you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know if it's going to be a simple inning. And I feel like he struggles a lot to get 1-2-3s. And So it's just one of those things where you don't know if you want to have that volatility in a closer. I mean, you don't want to have that volatility in any player. You want people to be consistent, but especially in a position like the closer, you want them to have consistent output. And we're just not seeing that right now. And so, again, it kind of begs the question of what's the move? You know, what can the Dodgers do to fix this? And I know we were talking about that a little bit earlier. Kershaw had an outing as well. That was in game three, and he looked like Kershaw. I mean, 7 2/3 innings pitched, 10 strikeouts, adding to that 10-plus strikeout games, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just incredible. Just the guy that's continuing to do this at the age that he's at, after being so dominant already, it's a treat to be able to watch and see greatness like this. I mean, it's one of those things where you're going to look back one day and you're going to be like, man, like, I got to watch this guy pitch live.
Yeah,
it really is one of those things. And it's so insane. He looked great. The game today, we got to talk about the game today a little bit. It was
all over the
crazy
place.
Game. I didn't get a chance to watch the whole thing, but looking at that box score, I mean, there was 8 runs scored in the first inning between the two teams, and I think there was another 9 runs scored in the third inning. I mean, it was just like totally back and forth, tons of offense. Urias started, did not do too well today, got lit up in that first inning and only went 2 innings. But the rest of the bullpen, besides that third inning, the rest of the bullpen did a good job of holding it down and kind of filling in and getting through those innings, because for a game where we have an unusual only 2 inning start from our starter, which is not a common thing. A lot of the starters
from Julio,
the Dodgers,
yeah.
Right. And from Julio, especially able to get through, usually they're, you know, Julio and everyone else is usually able to get through 4, 5, 6 innings. It's a lot less work for the bullpen.
Yeah.
7 innings of work they had to get through today. They were able to get it done, and that's including the Gratterall, like I was mentioning, that 2-inning save that he was able to do. Gave up no runs. Looked really good up there. He came back from cramping, too. I think that he got pulled from the previous outing for some cramping, but looked really good. He was hitting his spots. I mean, if he can do that, then I think he is going to be a really vital piece, and he has been. He's going to continue to be a really vital piece of that bullpen. And the last thing I wanted to mention is a little side thing. When Anderson was pitching, there was that little situation, I don't know, for people that were watching it or people that had seen the news, just baseball news in general, that there was a little pickle play with Ian Happ on the Cubs, who was caught in between third base and home. And essentially, they had caught him dead to rights. He was going to be out. Like, there was no way he was going to get out of it.
No.
And Anderson had the ball, and Happ kind of lowered himself and almost looked like he was going to tackle him.
Very, very
and
bad.
I think Anderson did not take that too positively, and he kind of shoved him as he tagged him. He kind of shoved him away, just a little shove. It wasn't anything too extreme. Not to make it sound biased or anything, because I don't think people should be shoving each other. But if you're going to try and do that to someone, especially a pitcher, I think the pitcher has every right to do that in response into retaliation. And thankfully, Anderson doesn't get hurt, because we all know how frustrated and upset everyone would be if someone, any player for that matter, is to injure a pitcher on a play that is pretty much a guaranteed out. You know, it would be different if there was a chance for him to be safe or get out of it or something like that, but he was absolutely out. I don't know if you had seen that, Kevin, but
yeah,
it was just not a good look.
Happ was trying to knock the ball out of Anderson's glove, in my opinion, and Anderson wasn't having it, and Anderson threw him to the ground. And you should never rush a starting pitcher like that, ever.
Yeah.
And Happ's in the wrong. But again, Dodgers sweep the Cubs 4-0, so it doesn't really matter. Dodgers take the Cubs series, Dodgers take the Rockies 7-0 in their last two series. We look forward to the next series, 3 away versus the Cardinals, 2 away versus the Angels. Both very much need to be, again, winning series. The Cardinals, second in the NL West, 3-7 in the last 10, though, something that they should really win. And then looking at the Angels series, a freeway series against a Angels team who just recently, as of 7-10, got swept by the Orioles, who are not a great team. They've been on the up, but not that good. An Angels team that is very much on the downturn, that are not performing well, that only have Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, have nothing else. This is a 2-game series that they need to win. Brent, let's get into flop and Dodger of the week. Brent, flop of the week, first off, who's your flop of the week?
All right, my flop, unfortunately, and man, I've been rooting for this guy. We've both been rooting for this guy, but yeah. You know, it was hard to pick one because it was a sweep week, right?
Like it was a sweep.
Seven week. Games out of seven. Not a whole lot of negatives. I mean, across the board, people were contributing and performing and doing what they needed to do, both on for the most part on defense, for the most part on offense, pitching both in the starting rotation, with the exception of a couple, and with the bullpen, right?
Yeah.
But for picking someone for the flop, I had to go with Max Muncy, and I know that he's been, you know, it is unfortunate. I know he's been really trying to rear it back. He's been trying to get back to his ways, but 3-21 over this past week.
That's bad.
That's showing bad. A bit of his old self, right? Like, you know, when he's getting these hits, when he's having these games, he's getting some home runs here and there, right? He's getting some good solid contact, but I'm still seeing a lot of the lack of plate discipline that we know Muncy to have had. That's the big thing that Muncy was known for, is like he would not swing at these pitches out of the zone, or he would not allow pitches to get by him, like good pitches. And I've just been seeing, I think he's just not comfortable, he's not confident right now, and it makes sense because he's been struggling, right? Yeah. And so, you know, he's not the guy that we're used to seeing. I still think, though, that there's been signs enough, Kevin, where I think he can bring it back. And we say that, and we keep saying that. We're just going to see a little bit more consistency, right?
I hope he comes back. I like Max Muncy. I like that Dave Roberts doesn't take him out of the lineup because we know how amazing he could be. Brent, my flop of the week, Julio Urias. He had two starts this week. One amazing start against the Rockies, and then the terrible starts against the Cubs. You know, only went two innings, allowed a grand slam. You know, he needs to be one of our main starters. He needs to last 5, 6, 7 innings. And I'm sorry, but I know no one can be perfect, but Julio, you can't be doing what you did against the Cubs, against better teams. Really unfortunate. Again, I think he'll bounce back. He's had a very up and down season. And I think a lot of it attributes to the fact that he played, you know, 30, pitched 40 games last season or whatever, you know, some insane number, had a short preseason. So that all leads to it. But hopefully we see Urias really perform well going forward because he's an amazing pitcher for us.
Yeah.
Let's end it on a good note, Brent. Dodger of the week. You mind if I go first?
Oh, I would love for you to go first.
Justin Turner, baby. Talked about him at the beginning of the show.
Yes.
6 games this week. 747 batting average, 1. OPS, 9 hits, 19 at-bats. And these stats are not including even today's game. And today's game, he went, I believe, 2-for-4. So it only increases his stats. Justin Turner's getting hot. Don't have much more to say about it. He looks great as designated hitter. He could play the third base still. Very happy for him. Cal State Fullerton alum. Go Justin Turner. Brent, Dodger of the Week.
And my Dodger of the Week, who I'm super pumped, super excited for, is none other than Mr. Gavin Lux. Man, what a season this guy has been having. What a week he had. He 10 hits and 20 at-bats this last week. 1.4 OPS. Yeah, not bad. Decent, I think. Only 2 strikeouts, and I think that's the big thing, too. Out of 20 at-bats, only 2 strikeouts. We love to see that. It's a really nice low K rate. Making a lot of contact, as we can see, not only with getting hits, but actually, like, even if he's not getting, even if they end up being outs, but he's making contact, I think that's really important.
Yep.
As of the game today, he is batting .304, and that's good for top 10 in National League batting averages. This guy is our number 9 hitter traditionally, and he's batting over .300. I mean, it is
not
so
bad.
Not bad, right? Not bad at all. I mean, it's... I don't think a lot of teams can say that they have a batter, a player that they put in the bottom part of their order that's batting .300. But that's just how deep this Dodger lineup goes, is that,
yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I couldn't say that he deserves necessarily a spot in the top, because who, you got Mookie, you got Freddie, you got Will Smith, you got
Belly.
All these guys. I mean, you got Bellinger, you got Muncy, I mean, you got Turner. You got all these guys already that are just, and I didn't mention Trey. All these guys that are already going to take these spots, and then so you have to have Gavin Lux being in the, you know, the 7 spot, 8 spot, 9 spot. But I think especially with the DH implementation and there being no pitcher, I think it's perfect for him because he can sort of get innings started or get rallies going where, you know, he'll get on base and allow the top, you know, bring it over, turn it over to the top of the order for everyone to kind of bring him in and get some offense and get some things going. I think it's perfect. It's been working really well. He looks so comfortable up there. He's been crushing the ball. I mean, man, I love me some Gavin Lux.
Gavin Lux and Justin Turner are Dodgers of the Week. And thank you so much if you got this far. We appreciate it. Give us a like, follow, subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. And again, I hope you guys like the new format. You know, and we're going to continue to try this and continue to try to get out these episodes weekly to you guys so you guys can get informed and learn a little bit more about Dodger baseball. Please email us at bibrecap@gmail.com if you guys have any questions. And yeah, that's about it for the show today. Thank you so much. I'm Kevin. Brent, anything you got to say?
Thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, we'll see you next time. Go Dodgers.
Thank you, everybody. Go Dodgers.